It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Hey, good morning and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. There is something evil going on, and we're going to talk about that. No, it's not about the fundraisers and the money that's not reported and, you know, all of that. That's evil, too. But over the months and years, we've talked about a couple of things, and I'm going to be chasing the subject today of the DLNR. And for those of you that want to participate, 524-1080, and I can ask up front that... you know, if you think some of these people that are named are good people, then we won't debate that. And I think that that would be your assessment and what have you. And we're not talking about good or bad people. We're talking about a systemic problem, a problem that has been present here for the last 4 years at least in a substantial nature. And we're going to talk about that. And recently we got the final measure, the final step to make this full circle, and I'm talking about the naming of Suzanne Case. The governor may have, in his hurry to satisfy the environmental community and other public people that were concerned, rushed and named Suzanne Case. But my concerns are, and I've demonstrated some of them, she is the wrong person to be in this job, not just by opinion, but observation. She's calculating in that everyone seemed to say that she's an attorney. I know a lot of attorneys, and that doesn't mean very much in when you look at the overall picture. What are they up to? They're good attorneys or bad attorneys. And we're not gauging her ability to be an attorney. Let's just look at today's sake is look at what is transpiring within the agency which she has been appointed. And I think I'll leave you to go away with your own decisions. But there's something we're dealing with here that's quite fragile, and that is the environment, and quite sensitive. And we... I have lost control over that, and we saw, we first start seeing it, and believe it or not, in the liberal government, and that was the real liberal, Neil Abercrombie, where the courting and dating and wedding up with non-profit organizations to circumvent and to insulate his poor policies and plannings by handing the ball off, so to speak, to non-profits. And some of these nonprofits are willing to do that because they have their own agenda, not the agenda for the overall sake of managing the entire environment. They focus on certain things, which is going to provide them monies and help them get their agenda through. And their agenda, they're small nonprofits, so they can't very well be capable of managing what we've learned over the years by having a state agency, federal agencies, county agencies, not organizations with nonprofits and one leader with freedom to do, hire, fire, spend money, go here, get donations, shelter people, those that give big money, you protect them and what have you. But with government entities, government agencies, the DLNR has many concerns, historical preservation, aquatics, and we're going to be talking a bit about her, Suzanne Case's appointment of Bruce Anderson, Dr. Bruce Anderson. Now, some of you applaud that, and this is not a dig on Bruce Anderson, but my concerns is the process, and I think that I'll share these with you, but I have a caller. Caller, good morning. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Hey, how you doing, Carol? This is... McCunney Christensen.
Hey, all right. You are. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. You know, I listen to your show. I appreciate all the hard work that you're doing. And, you know, from what I've seen and what I've been monitoring at DLNR, I've seen kind of pretty much a similar thing that you've seen. And, you know, very concerned, you know, not only for the environment, but for the people that utilize the resources.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right now, you know, that comment that you made about, you know, it is run by nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
100% agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that are behind the scenes that are pulling the strings are the same individuals that are pulling the strings for many of the community-based efforts that they have around the state.
Mm-hmm.
So Castle Foundation was a huge one.
Mm-hmm.
And they're utilizing nonprofits to push their agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've seen too is, you know, they're capitalizing on the Hawaiian aspect on it to push the first Haena community-based management process. Then all of a sudden, when that was approved, you have all these other groups coming about. For example, the Lanikai fisheries group that came up, they had a meeting about, 2 weeks ago, where they don't want any fishermen on the beach there.
Mm-hmm. And this is in Lanikai.
Yes. And mm-hmm. the same people that are sponsoring the Haena management is Nature Conservancy and Castle Foundation.
Mm-hmm. And how about the Conservation International? Are they involved?
I see them involved in throwing lawsuits out there to stop fishing, to basically, if they see something that is in line with the popularity,
mm-hmm.
they will jump on it and throw a lawsuit out there to pretty much end the fishery if it's out there without any real science or anything.
Have they already filed a lawsuit to do that, or is this a concern you have that they might employ this tactic?
I believe they may employ tactics to aid with the Nature Conservancy and Castle Foundation
mm-hmm.
and some of the other environmental groups out there. I mean, we're all environmentalists, but, I mean, when you forget about the people and the environment, I think we're doing an injustice to the state, yeah, and access. So
mm-hmm.
that's my concern.
Well, and Haena, you're speaking the one on Kauai, right?
That's correct.
Okay. And they, you're familiar with the Community Fisheries Enforcement Unit on Maui?
You know, I heard of it, and I understand that they're out there. If they see anything, they'll call up.
Mm-hmm.
But that's all I heard. I don't know exactly what routes they're doing or anything like that. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, we're going to be talking about that today and talking about Castle Foundation and some of the people that make up this. And especially, what's your take on the hiring of Bruce Anderson, Dr. Bruce Anderson, former head of the health department, state health department?
You know, I read up his biography and everything like that. And, I don't want to I don't know him, and I've never met the guy. I haven't seen him. I don't know where he's coming from, what his angle is yet, so I can't really make a solid opinion yet, or
mm-hmm.
because I really don't know the guy.
Yeah.
Or his tendencies in the past. If I had more information, I could probably make a better judgment of it. But,
well,
you know, as long as I believe, is the process right for him getting hired? I don't know.
Right.
I'm just kind of monitoring it right now. I know he's mm-hmm. a fly fisherman.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he is out there. He knows how the OEO move. I mean, he has a love for the ocean, so that's,
mm-hmm.
that's important.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't know the guy, so I can't make a solid opinion yet.
Mm-hmm. Like me, I have a love of airplanes, but I can't fly worth a damn. You know, but we're discussing the plan, not the man, I would say, if one were to ask me to synopsize it. Here are my concerns, and I'll start to lay them out. I just wrote, so that the listeners will know, and I just wrote a letter to Suzanne Case, and you got to know Suzanne Case as I've come to know her. I called her up to share with her when she first got in some concerns about ROPA and positions not being filled and vacant areas and abuse of authority and with the deputy chief, acting chief, and all of that. And basically, I think I got four words out of her conversation, and the situation has worsened rather than gotten better. So because she's Suzanne Case, and she's in the place she want to be, and there's a grand scheme here, and they orchestrated and lied to get the story out about the sea cucumbers, which we very well documented and put out there. She, you know, hadn't refuted a single comment that we've made. Either she just really don't think much of us, or she knows that they to be factual, that what we wrote and presented and what we exposed. But the situation is this. Not a single person, and I'll share. Let me know when you want to say something else. Just go ahead and interrupt me, because I know you got to go later on, Josh. You said it. But I wrote Ms. Case. And, you know, we want to be factual. We want to give a courtesy and extend, you know, the usual. Give them the opportunity. I know it's just the Carol Cox Show. It's not that big. So you probably, but we still want to follow the route of being courteous and giving the opportunity, no matter how big we are or small we are. So I wrote her, and I asked her for some answers. And I said that I'm interested in a number of developments involving the recent selection of Mr. Bruce Anderson and other individuals to fill positions in DLNR. I would like to respectfully ask your assistance in answering the following questions. Did you personally ask or recruit Dr. Anderson to head the aquatics division? Is there any truth to the representation that Dr. Anderson will be permitted to work only 4 days a week? Is Dr. Anderson required to establish a residence on Oahu? Will Dr. Anderson be allowed to collect per diem and travel fare during his stay on Oahu through the week? Besides yourself, what are the names and titles of individuals that served on the selection committee that selected Mr. Anderson? Was Mr. Anderson hired as a contract worker or civil servant? How and who chose or appointed the selection committee? Besides yourself and your deputy, what other actively serving state employees served on the selection committee, if any, served on the committee? How many were administrators? Did Mr. Eric Cole serve on the selection committee? What criteria?
Eric Cole is Castle Foundation, from what I understand.
Eric Cole works for Castle Foundation. Eric Cole also worked for the Nature Conservancy at one time. And this is all seeking to accomplish the same agenda. And so we have these situations develop. But again, what criteria was used to appoint Mr. Cole and the other selection committee members? During the time of Mr. Cole served on the selection committee, who was he employed by? Were members of employees or of nonprofit organizations given the opportunity to serve on the selection committee? If yes, who are they and how were they notified, chosen, or rejected? Was Mr. Cole...
From what I understand, I believe that has happened in the past for other members to be elected into position.
Mm-hmm.
I think the girl Aaron and David, that are the fellow, she's a fellow that runs a community-based management efforts.
Aaron Zunray. Aaron Zunray is her name.
Now, and David.
Mm-hmm. Sakota.
Both were selected and paid for by Castle Foundation, and they're working at DLNR.
Uh-huh. Well,
I think that's a huge conflict of interest right there.
Well, yeah, and we want to be careful. I can't say who they're paid for, but I can say this. I'm alarmed that we would have fellows that have earlier relationships with Nature Conservancy and Suzanne Case outside of the government, and then they found themselves owning a position and a chair inside government, but not serving as employees or civil servants, but serving as contract workers receiving monies from where? Is it from DLNR? Is it from Aquatics Division? Is it from and then did other nonprofits. I have a nonprofit organization, environmentally minded and concerned. Why didn't I get that? It should be open to all, because we have a concern and an interest, but somehow this thing has been allowed to manipulate itself and develop into this secret society, when in fact I'm told none of the members on the board were allowed to be disclosed. This case, I'm informed, this is what it was reported to me, that said that she does not want anybody to know who was on the committee, and those people that interviewed were told not to disclose that. Now, why would you do that when all you're doing is a selection of an individual who is key to the successful management of the natural resources?
Well, and it should be DLNR's, they're a public office. They should be very transparent of who votes for it, how the selection process goes. Because when you start hiding things, you lose public trust.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how big or how small the organization or how small the deed you've done, you have to be very open and very clear to the public, because that's our taxpayers' dollars.
If you think Carlton Ching was scary, then I'm going to tell you folks, Suzanne Case is frightful. What she's lending herself to, I'm sorry. If you don't like what I'm saying, then I can only tell you those are my opinions and my assessment way in which she has arrived at the scene. And there is just too much coziness going on, and it's too much. And when just a big concern. Go ahead.
Yeah, and then one more thing. I gotta head out already. But you know, there needs to be state delegates to oversight what's going on at DLNR, because there's something wrong with it. It's a public body. Why are public private interests so involved to the point they're actually controlling the entirety of DLNR?
Yes.
This is a public, it's a public trust. So why we should actually have maybe some Congress representatives or senators to have a hearing to investigate what's going on at DLNR. Who's hired, who's this, because I tell you what, there's a lot of corruption in there, and it needs to be fixed. Otherwise, the public, the people of Hawaii, will suffer. And one day, you'll find out that all of a sudden, the public access that we have to the beach or the mountains or farming or what have you, will be limited because of an agenda that is there now, that if we don't fix, could spread like cancer.
You're right, and we see that now, and it's a quiet cancer. That's the problem, you understand? And you've been at this a while, and Case's organization, the Nature Conservancy, also received some of the money and participated in the removal of the Ogo. Now, and they give money, the Castle Foundation give money supposedly to the state, DLNR. So my question is, if you got all this money to give, why are you getting grants back?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just, you know, and I don't know what percentage or what they do. Why? And why is it, and how did the Nature Conservancy find itself with its name in the midst of all of the government agencies? You understand? It's as if they have a secret way of managing things. They're a nonprofit organization. They're not vetted. We don't know who these people are. You know, all of this. Now, they may have some good ideas. They have, there's Dr. Sam Gone and all, but we're looking at a complete ecosystem called the state of Hawaii. Its waters, its mountains, its rivers, its, you know, the air and everything. And so when we see this kind of practices and these policies implemented and selection practices, this one catches it, you know. So anyway, you anything else before you go?
No, that's it. I appreciate all the hard work. You know, it's David versus Goliath out here. So,
and she's Goliath.
Oh yeah.
But you know, I think that the fishermen, I hear many of fishermen talking, and I hear other users And they can whine and complain, but I'm giving you the straight skinny here, folks. Go see your legislators, and I agree with you. Ask for a hearing and ask for an audit, because what we will find is that monies were spent, monies were promised. For example, and don't want to hold you up, but there's a thing called CALEA, Commission on Accreditation for Law Enforcement Agencies. Now, about 2 years, well, when William Isler was in, and he invited many of these people. In fact, he opened the door and taped it open for these nonprofits, special interests, and left it open. And they promised under the fisheries unit, the management unit, they would get money. Well, that's broke, and they're struggling, and they're having to lie about cases on the sea cucumbers so they can generate monies and send money and go to the legislators and beg. They had Fraser McGillivray, who was working for the state but flying first class. I mean, big spenders, right?
Yep.
So we need to bring this thing into check. There's some,
yeah.
There's some problems.
On that note, I gotta head out already. I'm on the water, but you just engage, and the people of Hawaii should really stay involved. It's super important. You know, when you don't have the money, you don't have the funds to not push our agenda, but basically keep things from closing, keep the waters open. We have to work together, and without working together and talking to each other, communicating through emails, through social media, to the Carol Cox Show, you know, that's where we'll get our power, because the power is within the people. So don't ever lose faith. Just stay solid.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, thank you. On that note, I'll let you go, and please do call in again and keep checking.
All right, Carol. Thank you. Right.
Aloha. Thank you.
Aloha.
Caller, go ahead with your comment or question.
Yeah, I've been listening to this long discussion and these innuendos and these names.
Looking through your window, you say?
Yeah, and all these talk about Susan Case is one important name that was left out.
Well, we hadn't finished the conversation, but throw it in there for me.
Yeah, the important name that was left out is Ige.
Uh-huh. So
what is he doing about all this? That's my question. And
well, we mentioned him.
Goes on and on, Carol. You know.
Yeah.
And this caller says we should get together and try to go, but Susan Case has locked everybody out. And no matter how you get together, you're not going to break into that circle. And the only one that can break in that circle is Governor Ige, and he can't even handle Mauna Kea.
Right. Well, I think the governor will respond if we point it out to him. And he hadn't. And, you know, when you appoint someone, you don't vet them to the point you know the temperature of their blood every day, down to that degree. You don't really know all the things that how they will behave. You know, you would think that the appointee would be complimenting the policies and the goals of the governor, or the one who appointed her. But this was already in place, and she found her way, and the environmental community should be concerned. We cannot tolerate Case or anyone to get inside of government and then start to manipulate it and then steer it in a way that we address certain things, but it's to benefit her organization as a nonprofit and others. So the Nature Conservancy, the Castle Foundation, and the Conservation International. And along with being complemented by NOAA, see, these are agencies that they have a mission, and they don't care how they get it. They just want someone, and they hide behind the skirt tail or the shirts or the backs of nonprofits. They put them up, and they can spin, and then the nonprofits can declare its privacy. We don't have to disclose this information. See, that's the fear.
The secrecy that goes on. You know, it's this girl. First we have Isla, and then we were happy to see him go. Then we get Thielen. We're so happy to see her go. Now we get Case. Well, why can't we get somebody that everybody will be happy with? and does a good job.
Yeah, well, habitually, it's been a problem. Natural resource management agencies have been a problem always, because you have the ones that want to use the resources, and you have the ones that want something from it, so they get appointed, and they set policies and practices to get their agenda set in. And if I could describe to you what I've observed and through various interviews and conversations with several workers in different divisions within DLNR, they are completely demoralized. They are not included in any of the policy making. They're kept in the back room. This selection process, and we're going to get down to some of the greater details of it, but, you know, the allegations were, and I asked her, did she appoint him, or did she ask or recruit him? And later on, I'll disclose, she didn't bother to respond to any of those questions, other than saying, we don't, normally we are something to that effect, we don't apply, we don't disclose who sat on selection committees, or we don't discuss that.
Well, anyway,
okay.
It's discouraging.
Well, we think there's light at the end of the tunnel, and it's them moving fast, trying to get out of our way. We're not going to tolerate it. It's not over. It's not done. Or the mayor, the governor will be a one-time governor. I know we repeat ourselves a cycle, but at least it won't just stay the same. But Suzanne Case is not good for the environment as a DLNR manager, period. Unless she get rid of her ways and these relationships that she has, before she arrived in its big circle, now she has the last say. You see, she's head of the land board. She's a chairperson. Why does the questions I have? Does the Nature Conservancy still receive grants from the state government? All of that, right? And can she separate herself from that? Okay, Ed. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. So I'm going to get to these little questions that I have posed to Ms. Case. And is there any truth to the representation that Dr. Anderson will be permitted to work only 4 days a week? So we had heard, it was reported that Anderson, something to the effect, I was in firsthand conversation with Dr. Anderson, but... this is, so instead of drawing conclusions, we wrote these questions to Ms. Case, and here it goes. Is there any truth? So is Dr. Anderson required to establish a residence on Oahu? Will Dr. Anderson be allowed to collect per diem travel fare during his stay on Oahu through the week? Besides yourself, what are the names and titles of the individuals that served on the selection committee that selected Mr. Anderson? So we go on and ask about Mr. Coe. Does Mr. Coe, Eric Coe, who works for the Castle Foundation, was he ever employed by the Nature Conservancy during your employment at the Nature Conservancy? If yes, when and what was his title? Does Mr. Coe's employer currently have any formal working relationship with the State of Hawaii Department of Land and Natural Resources? If yes, please identify the specific relationship. Are there other individuals employed by Mr. Coe's employer or other nonprofit organizations working with the DLNR on the grant or contract? If yes, what are the names, their names and positions? What criteria were used to appoint Mr. Bob Nishimoto to serve on the selection committee? How many state aquatic divisions employees did the committee interview for the director's position? Does Mr. Anderson's experience satisfy the requirements under Hawaii Revised Statute? If yes, who made the determination, and how was the determination made? And basically, you know, you can tell what a person think of you, and if they want to marginalize you, if they never say anything and have their gatekeeper. Dan Dennison wrote me a response. Dear Mr. Cox, Dr. Bruce Anderson applied for the position of Aquatic Resource Administration and his name was selected from the applicant list. See, I don't believe that to be true, but that's we'll get to the bottom of it. If in fact Miss Case asked or recruited Dr. Anderson, what list is there? And she did, in fact, we're told by some of the workers at various places that the position, the announcement was open for a certain period, and then she had interviewed everyone, and after the interview, she then reopened it till the September 18th, and his name was the only name on the list. So I guess that would be factual in some way. His name was taken from the list. He was chosen, but then a list of one. But what good is that list if in fact it's true that you recruited him to put that job? And I know, you know, as we've said earlier, many of you probably say, well, he's qualified. Well, I can tell you my concerns with that is that, you know, the health department does not operate in stellar fashion. Even at Oceanic Institute, they're still pumping water down into drains, into wells, injection wells, and running out into the ocean. And they were also discharging a great bit of water under in a DOT storm drain that created a beach area, that a little river that introduced and made it suitable for many non-native species of aquatic life that I struggled to fight and finally got them to force them to shut it down. So, and we have many other instances, but this isn't about Dr. Anderson. I mean, if he lends himself, if what is true is being said by various workers in the agency, if that is true, then this is something Dr. Anderson has to deal with himself. I'm not going to try and preach and teach him. But DLNR chair, this is back to Dan Dennison's letter. DLNR chair Suzanne Case agreed that he will generally work 4 days each week on Oahu and one on Hawaii Island with flexibility as needed. Since all of the DLNR division and their administration have statewide responsibility, this is an arrangement that reinforces the neighbor island perspective. The only residence requirement for employment with the state of Hawaii is to be a resident of the state of Hawaii. Like any state employee, if he is traveling on official state business, he will be eligible for per diem and be reimbursed for approved out-of-pocket expenses. We don't typically release details of selection committees. You can certainly make a Uniform Information Practices Act request and demonstrate, now get this, and demonstrate the need for you to have this information. So now this super lawyer, Suzanne Case, is in office, and so if the public want anything to do with her and know about her official capacity and her functions and decisions, we have to justify why we want to get information from her. So I read that, and if nothing else is true, this is for you listeners out there and for myself, this is the takeaway. When you tell the public that you ask me questions and there are rumors out there and there's erroneous information being disseminated, and I want to put a stop to it because integrity, 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 and transparency, transparency. But when you then write me back and tell me, you're not going to answer me, but I can file a request under the Uniform Information Act and then demonstrate the need for you to have this information. Well, Ms. Case, you being a lawyer, you know that the Uniform Information Practices Act is established and its foundation is on law. And the law is already set. It says the public has a right with some exceptions. And those exceptions must be cited or relied on when you decide that you're not going to give me information. I don't have to justify to you what I want and why I want it and what I'm going to do. Now, it may be applicable if you were to have said, we will waive your fees for this information, for providing this information and copying and searching. if you justify, and that justification would be that I significantly or substantially inform the public or use this information to educate the public about government activities and government function. That's it. But lawyer slash chairperson Suzanne Case, talking to Carol Cox, a nothing and a nobody, I can tell them anything. I can rewrite the law. Dan Dennison is good. You know, they're very flippant, you know, and they think they're flipping you off. And I really don't care because my purpose is long life, long lived. His purpose is watching the gate. Big difference from he and me. And so when you write this nonsense, and then I still have the opportunity to file an appeal or file a lawsuit, but I'm not going to go that route yet. I'm going to exhaust this measure by asking again. So, but again, folks, I have to demonstrate the need to have this information. And all it is just information. She had a process. She selected in her official capacity. It was a formal job announcement. It was to fill a position that is paid for by tax dollars, seeking to accomplish the mission of the people of this state and of the United States. So they go on to say Dr. Anderson is a civil service employee and met the minimum requirement qualifications outlined in the job announcement. His selection followed all procedures as established by Hawaii Revised Statute. Well, I beg to differ because if I recall right, when you were trying to, not you, Ms. Case, or anyone else, but earlier there was an attempt to take the DLNR, Aquatics Division, and house it on the DOFAR, Department of Forestry and Wildlife. And they changed the definition. Now, I'm not speaking with complete accuracy on this, but I'm just giving you a bit of background. As to there's some other details that I may have skimped over, but the gist of it is that there is a real specific definition. If you just read, go Google it, you'll see it says must have a biology degree or something like that. But it's HRS 187, somewhere in that section, 87A, or I didn't get the subsections because I was just busy. But for my purposes, it satisfies. So your request came in via, now get this now, this is when you know you have caused some disturbance to the normal sneaky ways and the sneaky patterns. This is never answering anything about Cole, Bob Nishimoto, or any of the other questions other than defending her decision on Bruce Anderson. If you think that I'm not entitled to the rest of the information, what made you think I'm entitled to the information on Mr. Anderson? It's all contained in the same letter. But listen to this. This is what they also wrote, and it's always expected of them to write this, so you put you in your place. Your request came in via the general DLNR email, which is fine if you are asking inquiries as a private citizen. If you're making inquiries associated with your radio program, you should direct DLNR procedures, should direct your request to the DLNR communications office. As you know, DLNR procedures call for all news media contact to first come to Deborah Ward or me. This provides for better facilitation of your request as well as directing it to the appropriate staff. Isn't that funny? Didn't seem like it didn't get to the appropriate persons or the staff. It didn't seem. It's just that small minds give out small products. And I think none of these people, from my expertise and background, I don't believe any of these people have the whole picture and understand the entire picture. We still have five positions in DLNR, key positions. So some of the questions that I am still seeking answers for, and we'll get them, because the people that work for the agencies out there are unhappy with this kind of practice where they move in and they do their thing and ignore or just trample on the rights or the presence of the existing people that work there. So some of the questions that I have regarding this and we'll get them whether they answer me or not. And it makes it much more fun when I get handed something like this, because it just, for some reason, I don't know, maybe it's just an illness that I have or a sickness, that when someone slight me, or and I'm publicly acknowledging this and they're letting you know that when you slight me for something that I think that I'm rightfully entitled to, or you deny me, then I don't know who this guy is inside of me, but he wakes up and he says, no, I'm not accepting that as an answer. No. Because if you're cheating me and denying me, what really are you hiding? You're violating the rights of myself, the others, the planet, common sense, and everything. And so you got to go. You got to provide that information, whether you like to or not. And you might hide, but not on this island. There are documents out there, and we will get them, and we will find and show that you can brush us off and put us aside and tell us off and put us in our places. And unfortunately, Ed, I share your sentiments to some degree, but you don't give up. And you can't give up, because there's so many things about Hawaii that's so unique and so fragile that once we get past the people chatter, there's a real world out there that needs protection. Species that need protection. The air needs protection. And as a result, you heard Makani Christensen say, the people and the environment. Well, and one and the same, because if your environment is foul, then so are the people's. Their future is not so bright. So how does one come up with a four-day work week for an administrator? You know, in this day and age, when we're getting reports of the coral reefs are dying, we're getting issues of all kinds of alien species increase, all kinds of issues, and you would go and hire a party after you've passed over everybody else that have had 30 years, 20 years or more in that, and on this committee, though she does not want to name them, her deputy Keikoa was there. She herself was there. Bob Nishimoto, who's a former biologist for that division, aquatics division, and Eric Cole. Now, there was no one there that has an administrative background within state that talks about management. Bob Nishimoto retired. And the question is, how did Bob Nishimoto get selected for this process? You see, so if you start off with a stacked deck of cards, you pretty much know the outcome. You know who's going to win, I would suspect, right? So there is some real serious flaws in this. And one of the things, as I began to talk about earlier, was this nonprofit clan promised to give Kalea, and that's again, it's the Commission on Accreditation for Law Enforcement Agencies, and they spent a lot of money, lots and lots of money. But then not one DLNR officer is certified or accredited. They even have officers that are functioning, serving in the capacity as a Kalea administrator or something to that effect. But there is no Kalea. And that money was going to be paid by, if I'm mistaken or not mistaken, it was the Castle Foundation. And so with all of these relationships, and why would... I asked the question, why would Castle and Nature Conservancy not see what is needed at the agency, give money, and avail themselves when needed, if asked? Why do you have to take over the steering wheel because you gave a grant? Why? It must be that you have a motive, an ulterior motive. And so what happened is that you're not being truthful with the public, though you say you're interested in protecting the public's interest, but you end up with half the pie or all of the pie. And then you exclude professional people, people that are published, well-published, books and what have you, and you don't even incorporate them. You tell them, step aside, get away. And so Eric Cole, follow this relationship now. There's Eric Cole, who worked for the Nature Conservancy. Then he now works for the Castle Foundation. Then you have Erin Zanre, who is, we don't know if she's Castle Foundation or who, but she's a fellow or an intern in the office, inside the office. And her husband is with, there's another Zanre that works for the Conservation International. And then you have the Nature Conservancy, who was led by, at that time, was Case, who's now moved in into DLNR. So what measures are in place to ensure that she does not? Is it just going to be on trust? Is the governor just saying, well, I trust that she'll do the right thing? Or does he have any way of having a report or review? Or does a public review of anything? Are these matters put out there, vetted to the public? There are some serious problems here, ladies and gentlemen. Like I say, Carlton Ching was a concern. But when you get Suzanne Case in and she lends herself to this practice of brushing people off, and she can't fix anything. She's, in my opinion, in observation, she's not there to fix anything. Some describe it as in her first days, she set her sight, and I've said this before, on monies that were gotten from the Cape Flattery as a settlement, a trust. And she wanted to get in there and divert that money to some use that she had an interest in, and had to be told and scolded that, no, you can't do that. You're no longer, this isn't the Nature Conservancy. This is no fly-by-night, there's money, let's get a grant. We don't need to put in for a grant. I'm in position now, I can just channel it. No, you can't do that. It doesn't work that way. But it's telling, and when you still have, in the DHERD, Human Resource Division, I call them up and ask them for records, a copy of the announcement. Well, we don't know if we can give you that. We'll look, and we'll try, and call again. Well, we're wondering if we can give it to you. Now, you know, if we're that secretive, then we have a problem. Caller, good morning. Real quick, you got a comment or question?
Yes. Would you be so kind as to, after this show is over and all the comments have been made, would you be so kind as to send them a copy of this recording so that they understand that the public is listening and the public is commenting?
Mm-hmm. Well, she knows, but she...
No, I meant she probably knows, but they hear it.
Yeah, well...
They hear it is.
Well, I can assure you, if they're smart like I think they are, they should listen, because I don't know...
Well, the corruption in the state is incredible. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, we're going to come back here in another minute, about 5 minutes, and we'll be back finishing this subject up, and then I have some more. Talk about smashing and crashing washing machines, refrigerators, bleeding off the gases, city's government, bulky item pickup. They don't care. The law says you can't smash or vent Freon in the air, but the city seems to don't care. So we'll be back shortly.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now here's Carol.
Good morning again. Welcome back to the Carol Cox Show, the second half. You can pick us up at carolcox.com and feel free to give us a call, 524-1080. We're discussing a bit about Suzanne Case, DLNR, and what have you, and so much, it's a struggle trying to decide what to talk about. I mean, my day, the phone rings, and there's this story, that story, or something. People, and I really appreciate it. I mean, we can't get everything, but at least we can try and expose it or get it out. And just on a different subject for a moment, I'm always encouraged, and I don't expect the world to, when I sit here on radio and talk and say things, I don't expect the world to run out there and change overnight or change at all. Just be informed. And I was just reading, there's an article in the Civil Beat where talking about contaminants on military lands. And it's 2015, late part of the year, October now. And there's a captain something to the effect that the state is concerned about the contaminated lands or levels of contaminants in soils on military bases. Now, back in 2012, March of 2012 and February of 2012, you can go to carolcox.com, and if some of you remember your loyal listeners and what have you, some 3 years ago, we laid it out with great detail. And so I offer that just to say that while we may be, it's kiddie play here on Sunday mornings with me, but these are real issues. And, you know, the tenure and the tone sometimes take on a, you know, like some of you say, name calling and shaming someone. Well, you know, we're all entitled to descriptions, and I appreciate that and understand it. But if you ask me, I'm always encouraged, because if we're on the money 3 years ago and it's still out there, well, it could be discouraging. But on the other hand, it suggests that we were right, we were accurate. So we'll continue to do that, and we're not looking for fortune or fame. We just want to get the information out there, and then you just never know. One day there may be a class action suit, and they may be able to listen to the Carol Cox Show and get some tidbits and put them on the right track. So if that's all we accomplish, I'm loving it, man. It's a woman. But anyway, and a couple other things. Yesterday I saw something, you know, there's this debate about Conneaut and Marine Base, military sign and God bless America, what a God bless. Well, just yesterday I saw several signs where they're saying they're praying the rosary, and some of them appear to be on state land or on the federal land. And then I saw another sign, you know, and it's they pray the rosary for America. And there's a group of people on the tents. This was out by the Wahiwa area. I don't know if it was all over. I don't know. And I thought, you know, great. Any positive thing, pray for America. I love America and pray for it. But then they had to go and screw it up and come along with this banner that says, one man, one woman, equal marriage. Now, I don't want to offend anybody out there, but you know, if you keep worrying about what's going on in someone else's bedroom, then you must have one of the most boring sex life you've ever had in your life. Earthworms probably have more excitement than you do. Because if that's all you have, I mean, come on. You're going to pray for America, and on the other hand, here's a backhand slap with this. Because America is made up of LGBTs, black people, white people, short people, tall people, fat people, skinny people, you know, disabled people. So what part of the America are you praying for and praying in the rosary for? I just thought I'd just say that now. Don't be offended. It's just you put it out there in public, and I thought I'd ask it, you know, and just. But I would go get some therapy if I was you, if your sex life is that bad that you got to worry about. And if there's a God, as you describe it, and you preach it all the time, that he's going to punish you, then let him be the decider. You know, you wouldn't want to be wrong for lynching, having God lynch someone, would you? So let quote, God sought it out. And don't be so contradictory when you, on one hand, you pray the rosary for America, but then you then start fragmenting and ripping America itself. We are the fabric of America, whether you like it or not, whether it's consistent with the Bible, which you read from, or what have you. Learn to love people. Learn to stay out of their way. Just, you know, and not tell them, well, you're going to pay for it later, your actions. And if that's true, then we'll all pay because we're unkind when we dictate others' lives and step in and intervene, and we don't even demonstrate ourselves a perfect life. So anyway, back to the nonsense here. So we're talking about this Suzanne case and DLNR. Here are some of the implications or suggestions that I took, the takeaway that I took. When she selected Bruce Anderson in this fashion, the way she did, having the position announced and then interview everybody that put in for it, and then it closes, then it reopens it or extends it to a longer, and then he's the only one that gets interviewed, and then he was selected from an applicant list. Oh, okay. And I'll leave you with that one. When you get to heaven or wherever you go, you'll have to explain that one. But what it suggests is that we can deviate. This is it going on. I'm putting words in her mouth and the likes of her, Suzanne Case. I can deviate from the position requirements. And this is telling, you see, what I take away is that this is surely confirming that she has an agenda. Not for the overall sake of the people and the environment as a whole. She has an agenda. It may be environmental based and triggered by environmental concerns, but she has an agenda. And then, so it doesn't matter who she picked or select or their expertise, because I'm going to get what I want to get anyway, so it doesn't matter. And that's what this selection process. And now, you know, William Isler employed the same tactics. He hired Randy Arwo. And by the way, Randy Arwo was part and parcel to this whole scheme of talking about how beneficial these things are. And they all had this gathering at UH, as some of you may recall, ELP co-sponsors First Hawaii, right? This is at School of Richardson Law. William Isler, chairperson of the Department of Land and Natural, said the state's inaugural Hawaii Marine Resources Enforcement Conference examined how Hawaii, despite severely limited staffing and funding, can better enforce state laws that protect the precious and life-giving coral reef that surround the islands as well as the health of the states near. But that sounds good, right? But then here are some of the conference was sponsored by Environmental Law Program, William Richardson School of Law, Division of Conservation and Resource Enforcement, Hawaii State Lands and Natural Resources, Hawaii Fish Trust, that's Conservation International, Harold K. Foundation, the K.L. Castle Foundation, the Nature Conservancy of Hawaii, and the Department of Prosecuting Attorney, City and County. See, when you're the Nature Conservancy and you're the Conservation International and you're getting federal grants and then you're out here, you might say you're doing good, but how can it that you exclude certain people and you include people that are in your ilk or your clique? Something's wrong with that. How do you get to select these people? How do we as a person interested in natural resource management and the welfare of the environment here? So this is all of this is, it's good on its face value, but the little intricate ways that they are and the behavior that's going on raises eyebrows. And I say that those of you that think that this is nitpicky, keep watching. And we started off with the biggest lie since I've seen. I mean, if we had people in this state that cared, that would put your butt in jail for lying and violating the rights of others and all of that and really cared. And we had an enforcement agency, an arm, and a government agency and the Ethics Commission and all that really give a damn. Suzanne Case would have been out the day that I released this information about and disclosed about her handling of this sea cucumber. She has absolutely no place in government. None. To be holding up shipments as she did in this case with through her officers. They had no legal right, no valid right, and no purpose other than to orchestrate in that they had, in fact, had commercialization of sea cucumbers. But on the same breath, people were already fishing for sea cucumber, catching them and reporting them, and I included that in the report. They make an annual report and have done it since the 50s of commercialization of sea cucumber. But the way Case and those guys orchestrated it was, oh, this is something that just popped up. See, when you're willing to lie like that and write and orchestrate something of this nature, I'm sorry, you don't get any sympathy from me. And then when you brush me off for wanting to ask, I have a valid interest in this process. I'm a citizen of the state, just like you. You're a nonprofit organization, President Suzanne Case, of that organization, who now has been appointed as the governor's director of the Department of Land and Natural Resources. That's all it is. That does not entitle you to selectively diss other people and keep them from having or sharing the knowledge, because we have opinions and input as well and concerns. So maybe if you can adopt that and incorporate that in your thinking, we're going to get somewhere. But one after trickle, and demoralizing the state workers and so that you can surround yourself with special selected people that you've groomed. And we'll talk about, you know, they get to appoint the water seaworm and all those people, and they come under. And what about Maui Land and Pineapple and that her cousin owns? And are these developers, are they going to have a say in it? We don't know, because she's not transparent. And when you ask questions, hey, I'm not going to talk to you. We typically don't release that information. Well, you will if you're sitting in a state position. You will. Good morning, caller. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Hi, Carol.
Yeah, Dave. How are you?
Hey, yeah. You know, I'm just so outraged. I mean, in Hawaii, especially at this time, but I mean, it's been going on for so long. The just total corruption and the total secrecy and the total deceiving people about things. And you know, if you remember the Hawaii Public School for the Deaf and the Blind. I mean, the state officials were looking the other way. The staff was sexually abusing these blind little kids and the deaf kids. I mean, is that disgusting? And then I go back to the Coquille Park terrorists, and for years that place was in shambles, and it was disgusting. And then the Mayor and Wright housing, and on it goes. So the only remedy seems to be able to try and get it in court and get it solved. But by that time, you know, the hurt has really been done, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's all I wanted to say.
Well, you know, Dave, I always ask myself, you know, as feeble as an attempt as it is to do what I do, and it's minuscule, it's small.
Sure.
And we all complain, but imagine, I believe we offer this role that we serve as advocates or whatever. It may not be substantial, but I believe that it has some effect. So imagine how really screwed things would be screwed up, how bad they really would be if we didn't offer some resistance or some complaining.
Yeah.
So how do you gauge, and any of us out there, if we see something wrong, speak out against it? But we shouldn't speak out and say, well, this is what we want, because then we're just changing seats.
Well, you know what? It's like I've been trying to going before the city council for it's almost been a year now, and trying to advocate for the Housing First program, and I told them, actually I made sure they each got a copy of this thing in the Mother Jones magazine, and I said, you guys read this, and if you guys aren't excited on working on the homeless problem this way, then there's something wrong with you. And then I'd ask them every time I'd go there about once a month. I'd say, did you guys, how many of you guys have read this article and are excited about it? And just two folks have read, maybe three by now. Mm-hmm. The rest of the, I guess that's seven of them. And then the last time I was there, Ernie Martin says, I'm sure they all read it, so you need not talk about it anymore. And I said, excuse me? And no, because this is a sure way to fix this problem, mm-hmm. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like they do with you, they just kind of fluff you off and say, you're just kind of bothering us. Come on, let's.
Yeah, the wise ones learn real quick that, you know, it's just more than just putting fertilizer around their feet when they behave that way. You know, it's just. But you know, this morning, and I'm going to go back to my other subject, but you and I have talked about homelessness and all. But I read an article this morning. I didn't finish the article, but there were two quotes in there crediting to the mayor. And one was, well, we can something about the permits and all. We can remove all the needs for permits and asking the churches to do certain things, right? So, and from me, who's watchful of all this, so it tells me now that when big developers come in, it can be done. He didn't say we can expedite these things to ensure that they conform to zoning, they conform to the safety issues and the ADA. He didn't say that. He just says we can remove the permit. You follow? And permits are. I look at them as a means of guiding and coming out with the best solution of anything, because it's been thought out and says, well, you know, to get a permit, you have to use wires this certain gauge and do this, and it has to be a setback. It can't be a curb stepping out of the church right onto the freeway, because, you know, all those things, right? And got to have a fire.
Sure.
So when he speaks of that, right? And so I see that, and then the other thing, I was really sad that all of our leaders here, all of them, I don't care how sophisticated they are or how well-dressed they are, whatever it is, they have the ability to just say to us, well, we're going to go to the mainland and look at theirs. Does anybody amongst them in the history of Hawaii government have the ability to see for themselves and trust their own insight and ideas, right? They talk about, in this article talks about, well, I went to the mainland and saw the churches over there doing this.
Oh, yeah.
Well, why do you got to go to the, if you're a good person and your heart is good,
sure.
You wouldn't have to get on the plane to go and catch a train to get to somewhere to ease the pain. You wouldn't, right? If you were a good person and if you were guided by righteousness, you wouldn't have to. You'd care about your fellow man here or your fellow woman here and the children that are starving. You wouldn't beat the crap out of them running around there with.
And you know what? You wouldn't go to their encampment and just put it in the trash.
Yeah.
And basically, like putting these people, you know, Carol, can I tell you, you know, this, you know, I can't be politically correct on this.
It's okay, you know, we ain't got no political correctness here. Go ahead.
Anyway, it's a total lie. The city, the mayor, they're saying, well, there were this last part of that encampment in Kakako, they said, well, there's only 100 people left there. Mm-hmm. You know what? A number of different groups counted about 270 of them or more than that encampment. And then they're saying, hey, listen to this. They're saying, we got housing or shelters for most of them. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll go to the homeless shelter. Did you see the other day on the news? They showed the city bus. There was a family of five, mm-hmm. and there was a single person that hopped on that bus to take them to a shelter. Right. I mean, that's all they did. And that's the biggest lie, too. Because there ain't the darn housing for them, period. That's
I think the mayor should get a SAG card or a Screen Actors Guild card because, really, because it's just getting, and there's many things. I'm looking at this thing about the chief of police, right? And they're dogging him. This mayor, I'm going to be the first to say it publicly. This mayor pretends not to be involved in all the hoo-hoo and trying to defame the chief of police. And everyone has said he works and his ratings are good and ranking. And we don't have the means of evaluating that, so we trust what was said and we go with that. I think the mayor is in that situation is trying to manipulate it so that he can be the get KLO how to quit, and then he can be the first to name a woman as chief of police. Man. This is what I see in this mayor is always orchestrating something, and then I say, well, if you really want to, and the ethics commission, how they're hiding the documents from, and they're having to sue, KLO is having to sue the ethics. Come on. You made the statements, you charged them, and you made certain things, and you're out there. I believe that it's politically based, motivated, and I would say if you gave me Chief Kealoha and gave me Kurt Caldwell, I would have to say the one carries handcuffs and the other should have handcuffs on him. You guess who it is. And hey. Because, hey, PRP, that he was involved with that, right? You go, I just made a request for information for community services. They just wrote me a response back saying, well, we don't have the information because we tore it up because that's according to, as allowed by HUD, we tore the papers up. But you can send us $6.50, and we'll email you the documents.
Yeah. Incredible. I mean, aren't they kind of telling they're telling a lie? I mean, just by charging this kind of money to sort of copy this stuff.
No, this is what happens when you go in and you reuse the dredges from the coffee pot. You recycle them. You feel the world is cheating you out of something, so you got to go and lie.
Well, you know what? The mayor would make a wonderful used car salesman, man. He is. He's slick. You know, the slick Kirk, man. I mean, this guy. You know, he was at one of these conferences where he was talking about all the good deals of how we can make wonderful uh-huh. cheap housing and all this kind of stuff. And I you know what? I was ready to yell at him and tell him, but you know, he came out so smooth, man, that I couldn't even get a vibe. But you know, the guy is—he's a sharp guy. You know?
Well, I don't think so. I think most of us are asleep at the wheel because in other places he'd be out on his nose in a heartbeat. PRP and the money's given to him, how much was donated, and you know.
This is the fact that he got elected. I mean, in a way, that was...
He wasn't part of the deal to bad-mouth Cayetano, you know. So anyway, that's what I say. It's kind of disheartening and sickening when you see them all. Everybody, all of our leaders, always got to go to the mainland to look at something, because they're the ones that have it using it, and we need to go look at it. And then, really? And then now all of a sudden the church is on the mainland, and so now he's lambasting the churches here. Wait. it was you who told your lady, Pam Whitty Oakland, stood there and said about the monies from HUD, that was the grants, and I think it was millions and millions.
Oh, yeah.
And we're not going to give it to the nonprofits. And I don't want to misspeak, but I do recall that there was something to that effect, and she was proud of us. So we're going to not give it to these. And I'm thinking, and now you're coming back telling the public, oh, you should be, the churches, you should be doing something.
Yeah.
Well, what are, send money, Mr. Mayor, and they'll, it would enhance, and, you know.
You know, Sarah Holton always talked about that when we have our housing task force, and she's always saying, well, you know, we, the government, can't do it all. But I say back to her, ma'am, you can't, you, the government, I mean, the, who else is doing it? Mm-hmm. The churches have, and other charities are, have such mediocre amounts of doing it themselves, and I don't think they have a whole lot of resources, too.
Well,
let's the one of last resort. That's the one that
let's
we,
say this. The churches, there is no law to say they have to do anything. So, first of all, we should be thankful if they did anything.
Yeah.
Number one, anything. But we do know the government has an obligation to do things because government, not because it's in existence, but there are monies that are set aside and provided in grants and funding. Now, no matter what you think about it, it's a social governor, that the process is there. The money is being issued to the states, and the states squander it. Remember up there at Helimano? They squander that money, and then the HUD says, so who's the bigger criminals in this thing? So you understand. So I believe there's so many instances where warranting a criminal investigation. Now, if this was in Gary, Indiana, there'd be a bus waiting to haul everybody out of there that's walking around with Dacron suits and Jerry Curl, you know, because they are hard on those people back there, right, when they misspend the money or misappropriate in their directorship. But over here in Hawaii, when the last time you heard anybody went to jail for, you might hear someone that stole from the Little League team go to jail.
Yeah.
But you don't hear anybody going to jail for stealing from the Big League. Do you?
No.
Wonder why?
Yeah.
Right.
Because
it pays to play.
Yeah. Well, that's the bottom line, I'm afraid. And here in Hawaii, we're so small. My auntie and uncle and my cousin. You remember the scandal a couple of years ago with the state hospital where that one head nurse was hiring about 8 people per family at the jobs. And of course, they were totally not qualified. And I always like to go back to the homeless shelter that Jason Sparrow, the son of Senator Sparrow, and the guy had no qualifications to be that. And I remember them. Oh God, what was her name? The one that was head of the Waikiki Health. And I asked her, "Come on, you're telling me this is the most qualified person to fit this position?" And she said, "Well," and I said, "Where did you find him?" And he said, "Well, I looked on ABA." I said, "Come on, and you couldn't find that? That's the most qualified candidate you could find." And Senator Sparrow had nothing to do with it.
Uh-huh.
And she said, "Oh, of course not. I know that wasn't true."
Well, it'll get better, but I don't think we have to stress. For those of you that are discouraged and see no light at the tunnel, you know, I apologize. I wish I could do more to help you and educate you, but at some point, you know, you can give all kinds of examples in education, and you'll be met with, well, you're too harsh on, you talk about people, you shame them, you call names, and you know.
Well, you know, they did put Jason in another department now, and they demoted him, actually. They put him in the outreach. I'm not sure that was great either, but at least he's part of that, the coordinating the whole darn shelter, because he was awful. He hurt a lot of people's lives just by not knowing what, I mean, without a social work background, that's idiocy. I don't know what they did.
Okay, Dave. Well, thank you. All righty.
Yeah. Anyway, I just had to express. I'm just, I get so frustrated. But, you know, listen, I'm just like you. I'm here for the fight. I'm here for, you know, the good fight, you know, darn it. Well, I mean, if it's not people like us, who's going to be there? You know?
Well, let me share with you why I'm here. The reason I'm here is that I've watched the American way, and I know there are some people out there that just hate America for what she's done. I love America. I don't think there's any. I mean, people are swimming in among sharks to get here, and I mean, you understand, and do many things.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and we have a very poor history of human violations and all of that. But you know what? I still love this country more than I love myself. And the reason is ideas can flourish here. They can live.
Sure.
They can take root. They can grow.
You're not going to be shot and put in jail.
Well, no. Now, wait now. They do bomb your house. They do bomb your house and beat you.
Well, I mean, you're going to be. I mean,
where were you, Dave?
Charge you $4,000.
Where were you, Dave, when all that was happening?
but no, really, I mean, hey, listen, you and me remember the '60s, and you remember
exactly
the things that were going on. I mean, I remember the civil rights protests, and I was part of that, and when I was still a kid, and I saw the the anti-Vietnam War marches, and you know, it was a hard slog. But we did. There was progress, man.
When you can look and to your right and to your left and in front of you and behind, and you have enough energy to propel yourself through life, and then you have a little extra to care about someone, I'm proud of that. I think that for me, that's why I love America. That's the American value. That's what I grew up with. Now, I could be the stupidest person on the planet, but it feels good to care about the other person.
Yeah.
And that's all.
That's exactly what I'm demanding to be on the governor's council. The governor, I'm trying to get Scott, the Morishi, the new state coordinator. I said, you know, Scott, I want you to have some homeless folks on that council,
mm-hmm.
because we know exactly what needs to be done.
Yeah.
Elkridge, he doesn't get back to me, but I'm still trying. I'm not going to give up until they, especially if they don't, if they keep on doing the stupid
yeah.
thing. Doing.
Well, let me get this other caller here, Dave.
Okay. Okay.
All right, brother. Thank you. Yeah. Okay. All right. Caller, go ahead with your comment or question.
Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to support everything that you've said, perhaps a different issue, but Form B is the transportation dean, whatever, and he was elected to help the rail. By his own admission, he is not a rail person. He's a port harbor airport person. They hired a special counsel, Barnes, at $93,000, perhaps. We had Grabowskis to be a consultant. We had Parsons Brinkerhoff to be a consultant. We had InfraConsult to be a consultant. All of these consultants, now we're going to a new consultant. I was at San Francisco State during the riots. Hayakawa on top of the van with his megaphone, and the sit-ins at Cadillac dealership. And I'm trying to get on two commissions, two senior agencies here, and try to assist. I have testified many times at the city council, many times. Tried to call in as often as I can, substantiated by at least three sources for everything I say.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a piece of literature called Enemy of the People by Ibsen. It is exactly what we're talking about. One person against corruption. And as long as there's one person against corruption, there is hope.
Mm-hmm.
And they will say that we are following best practices,
mm-hmm.
Form B again and again. Best practices refer to the mainland. And best practices don't necessarily here, geographically, physically, or in any other aspect, that this island is somewhat unique, and that best practices in Chicago, L.A., etc. And the encroachment upon property in San Francisco, what they're doing to Chinatown. I just had a call this morning from San Francisco, and we discussed this same thing, the high-rises that are going up. And you've got the Great Wall of Waikiki now. You're not going to be seeing the ocean. And, of course, the corruption. How did they get these permits to do this? And it directly affects the environment in every conceivable way, whether it's a viewplane or the water or anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And it's up to you, God bless you, for allowing us to have a voice, because without you and some few others, the people have no voice.
Yeah, well, we can keep talking, and I think people get nervous when we speak. It's just that we have to stay alert, watch them, and you know, everybody got a little game. When people say, I want to get in the government and help, can't you help government from afar and put in your suggestions in the box and put your money, attach your money to that and say, this is what I want, and then monitor your money? Why do you have to get at the helm and steer it and then put all your little minions around you?
Forgive me, but immoral, unconscionable people.
Yeah.
I am very, very, very cynical.
But I got a law degree.
Well, listen, Mr. Cox, I want you to, please, I have been involved with one or two of the lawsuits here because of documents that I have.
Mm-hmm.
And I've often thought about, I have access to lawyers, not just for the first time, but having spoken to them before. And in San Francisco, was agitation and control, because the talking, we talk and we talk and we talk, but there is no collaboration and there is no action. I've been many, many, many experiences of doing that, brought documents to them,
mm-hmm.
and now, of course, the amount of money for HART, and for they don't have it, they never had it, didn't have it before they started, don't have it now, aren't going to have it in the future.
Wasn't HART supposed to be watching over this? That's what they were
No,
I mean, were they not? Right? And then the mayor said he's going to go to HART and ask HART to care. Why you got to go? I mean, that was the whole purpose.
Mr. Cox, you know to whom you're speaking. I have at least 50 documents that will find all of this. The reason this happened is because Movie had a need campaign money, and he got the state to give money. The state got 10% of the 0.05%. He got billions of dollars from the federal government because the president was from Hawaii, and so was the...
Don't forget his job with the hotels.
And yes, of course.
And
one of the lawyers told me that the worst, the most corrupt, the most dangerous agency in the island right now is Pacific Resource Partners.
Yeah.
That they have so much power in many ways that they can dictate law.
Well, as you find it, let us know.
I'm doing as much as I can.
Okay.
And I so appreciate your program, and David and all your callers. One thing about religion, man has free will. And if you are a religious person and you use free will and you believe you're going to go to hell if you lie, you go to hell.
Yeah.
And if you're doing good, you know if you are or not. And God gave us free will. Thank you very much, Mr. Cox.
Yeah, well, keep on believing
in
what you believe.
Bye.
Aloha. Caller, go ahead with your comment or question. Do you have any?
Yes, of course.
Okay.
Of course. The level of, they said, remember, that they were going to the mainland to look at the rail.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we got. They were going to the mainland to pick the best rail practices. And this is what we got, which is far from the best.
Mm-hmm.
So every time they go to the mainland to get whatever it is they're getting, we come away with nothing. However, just to, on the level of corruption, have you seen this morning's paper where it says the enrollment of the students at UH is going down because the tuition is going up, And then we look at how much they have paid all of these do-nothing, losing coaches and what have you, all of the money that goes out there, and none of it goes to education. Mm-hmm. None of it went to that building that's been in bad shape for 20 years. Where is the money going other than to pay these male, these coaches to go away?
Right. I have no idea. They can't even get me interested in their football games. Hold on. Good morning, caller. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Carol?
Yes.
I just wanted to make a comment regarding the dealing with Director Susan Case.
Okay.
Under the previous administration, Governor Abercrombie brought Willa Wyla, you know, going around the state. It's like a talk story.
Right.
And that happened in November of 2010.
Uh-huh.
Somebody's around there about the same time. I think the Governor Iggy should be bringing DLNR, going around the state and talking stories. There's a lot of things that people want to talk about, but how do you get access?
Well, we go, you know, I think we should, each person should go to their state legislator, representative, and senator and just say, we want transparency on, based on what we know about this and what we don't know, we want to see some transparency, and we accomplish that by coming to a meeting and telling you things would be kind of inviting her to continue to disseminate this BS that they got set up there in the office. But I would say ask them to be held accountable through answering to the legislators and explaining the monies and why do they have interns in there when we have regular people. Why do we have vacancies that are for civil service that are taxpayer paying for them already, not using them and leaving them vacant? What is happening with that money? Is it being diverted? Is it being abused? Is it being misused to accomplish her agenda? You know, I think that's going to be critical. You there?
Hello?
Yeah, hold on. Caller, go ahead with your comment or question. Thanks for
Good morning, Mr. Cox. I have a question. When I started when I started my jewelry wholesaling business, I had to prepare a business plan, and a professional business planner prepared for me a feasibility study. And with the Fitzgerald, did they prepare since this is a public government project, what did they prepare? Environmental impact statement, or was it a, what kind of plan did they prepare that they presented to the city and county or the state when they wanted to build in the beginning?
Right.
Wanted to build the rail. What did they prepare?
Remember, there was some delays and something. Gosh, I have a notebook with all of that regarding EA. How about next week we talk about it? I'll answer that. Try and get some answers for you. But there was, that's a good question, because I have the same questions about. Okay, they have that environmental impact statement, but the state has allowed them to deviate and commingle each contaminated site and collect it all together and bring it and put it in one site, and like at the stadium issues and whatever. So, without misinforming you, let me just go back and look at the EA and the its progression.
Okay, the reason why I ask that is that by studying the environmental impact statement, or the feasibility study, or the business design for the rail in the beginning, that would be like the rule of law for the rail.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay, take care.
All right, thank you.
Bye.
Caller, go ahead. Thank you for calling. Marcia, I'll let you go next.
Caller? Go ahead. Keep going.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello, thank you very much. I can enlighten you somewhat. There was impact statements, for example, the Bones, the park down in near Waikiki, and a tunnel, and the federal judges, all of the judges here, would not accept it because of conflict of interest. All the federal judges here
would not accept the environmental impact statement.
Of conflict of interest.
Oh, okay.
Wouldn't judge on anything.
And
secondly, it went to the circuit court in San Francisco. And in terms of other conditions, the airport runway, the federal building, etc. All of these, and now, very quickly, I asked an engineer in 2008 what happens with subterranean excavation when you get to the pipes and everything underneath. And the engineer told me, this is in 2008, we'll deal with that when we get to it.
And
that is what it's been like from the beginning.
Yeah, okay.
It's not, this is my last comment. All of this transit is not about transit. It's not about moving people. It's about many making big money. It's all about corporations and multi-billion dollar corporations investing in Hawaii.
Right.
That's what this whole project is about.
Okay, I'm gonna try it next week, see what I can do, and we'll talk in between.
Please,
okay.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Marcia, go ahead real quick.
Well, back to the rail real quick. That thing that was on the ballot, it did not ask us if we wanted the rail. It said, do you want fixed on, steel on steel or blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. Nowhere on that ballot did it say, do you want the rail? Mm-hmm. And then they accepted that as saying, well, the public said they wanted rail. That is not true. They have run that thing constantly, and every time one of us little peons has said, well, that's not legal because you didn't ask, do we want it? They say, oh, they look the other way.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
that never comes up.
What rainstorm would occur if all us peons got together? And function. Hold on. Oh, I just disconnected. Caller, go ahead with your comment or question.
Hello?
Yes.
Oh, this might help.
All right.
If you could somehow get a copy of the grant proposal that Senator Inouye got for $1.6 billion grant, I think that some of those questions would be answered, because I believe to get a grant of that nature, you have to put in that grant, in that proposal, the rail, because it was for the rail. So I don't know how hard it is to get a copy of that grant proposal, but I'm sure a lot of stuff should be in there.
Okay. All right.
Okay?
The grant. Okay, thank you. Aloha. All right, Marcia.
That's a good idea, but Inouye got a whole bunch of things that he wanted without going through the usual procedures. It was called pork, was it?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of what we think should have happened didn't happen.
Yeah, well, there was a couple points there that about the EA, because there's some concerns. I've said it on the show here a couple of times, that wait until they get to Evalé, and wait until they get to the stadium, or wait until they get to the tunnel going to Red Hill, or wait until then that's when the environmental monster is going to raise its head. How do they treat all of that? What those plumes and what have you, where do they take that? How many billions, millions are going to be necessary to address those issues?
Well, they fuel diesel submarines those terminals underground out to the ocean, out to the system.
Well, that's, yeah.
So
that's,
when they start digging, will they hit those things? When they start digging to put the rail
right.
in, because they got to go past it, will they hit those things?
Well, they should, they could not know that they're there, but... Caller, go ahead with your comment or question.
Yes, wondering, with the corrupt influence on the rail vote in the city council to begin with, shouldn't this whole thing be illegal and shut down?
I believe so, caller. I just don't want to get my hopes up. I believe that, like you, and some of this was orchestrated, some of the building, the key spots where they put it up there and then say that we've gone so far, we can't take it down. I think a lot of psychology went into that. How did they decide what goes where first?
Well, anyway, I think they can do a thing like hot lanes that Panos was talking about. I think this infrastructure right now still can be used for something useful that could actually help traffic. But this whole thing should be stopped. It's all illegal.
Mm-hmm.
They need to. There's that lady that's pursuing that lawsuit now. They have a law firm I seen on TV that I'm not sure what the lady that
Kawananakoa Abigail, Miss
yeah.
Miss Abigail.
Yeah. I mean, I hope people can put energy behind what she's doing and have them try to stop it. They already got a lawsuit going, and I hope they should, you know, actually do something about it, actually stop this whole thing.
Yeah.
Because it's illegal. Why should it be continuing? You know?
Yeah, and I met a couple of guys the other day that had jobs, and they got fired, and they brought in out-of-state replacers. That's what they say. So.
Yeah, well,
All right.
This is the main point, is stopping this thing with the illegal corruption of the whole vote. The whole thing needs to stop.
Yeah, well, thank you. Let me get one more call, and
then
thank you so much. Okay, that was the buttons got stuck on this one. Call a call back if you want to, but we don't have any time, I guess, if you want to try real quick if there was a comment. Go ahead, caller, real quick.
Yeah, just real quick. Living in Ever Beach, I can't wait till the rail is done. I can drive to Croc, where the station is, park my car, and ride the rail to town every day and back, not have to drive my car. And spend gas and wear and tear in the car. Thank you.
All right. Well, hey, thank you, Ed. All righty. And then we'll all come out your way and have coffee. Okay, take care, guys, and we'll see you next week. And thank you.
This has been the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week, Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KWAI Honolulu.